Hey, welcome to Deadpan number 247. This is Jack Mangan. I am wearing my favorite shirt. It's plaid, calico, gingham, herringbone, checker, tartan, paisley, leopard print, tiger stripe, camouflage, argyle, pinstripe, and tie-dye with rhinestone and tassels. Goes great with my denim, spandex, bell-bottom, Kango sweatpants. This episode features a great conversation with Nicole Deeker of Hello the Future, recording artist extraordinaire. And so other than me blathering right here, that's about all you'll have. But as I said, it's a really good conversation. And actually, she at one point was a little bit taken aback at my use of an F word. I think she soon realized that my use of it was to make fun of them and that I wasn't one of them. But Nicole, apologies for throwing you off a little bit. All right, there are two things to do. I'm going to read some comments, but before I do that, you need to know that the SurveyMonkey results are in, and we have a tie. And there are only two choices. So Buckaroo Banzai and Blade Runner are tied. So you know what? Send me a voicemail or an email with a recording stating the case why we should do one over the other, and that'll be how we break the tie. I guess the most compelling argument will decide whether we're going to Palooza, Blade Runner, which includes all written materials, or Buckaroo Banzai. And by Palooza, that means we'll all watch it and, chime in about it afterwards and be creative about it. Anyway, comments of the week. We had a bunch, largely due to the Energizer Bunny's efforts. We had 513. Lopan said, R.I.P. Sally Ride, truly a pioneer of the final frontier. Truly. DJ Bunny said, that's got to be the most bizarre-looking plant I've ever seen. DJ Bunny says, I'm afraid Rook can't come to the phone right now. DJ Bunny says, now, Ellipsis, I'm going to try out my new jetted tub, later Panites. Ditto says, Poland. Retro says, games I still need to finish. Mass Effect 3, Batman Arkham City, Diablo 3, StarCraft 2, and lots of old games like MechWarrior 4, etc., etc. First of the week, Vanamon said, if there was a plug at the center of the universe, could you resist pulling it out? All right, enough of the intro babble, for F's sake. Nicole Deeker of Hello the Future, everyone. All right, thank you all for tuning into this episode. We're all lucky that in this episode we have Nicole Deeker. We're talking with Nicole Deeker, who, of the band Hello the Future, who is actually the only person in the band Hello the Future. So I want to welcome the entire band to the podcast.
Thank you for having all of us here on the podcast.
All right, can you all fit over there? Is there room?
There was a lot of scheduling we had to do to make sure we could all be here at the same time.
Right. Well, I'm glad you didn't break up for creative differences. That would have been unfortunate.
Yeah. Painful.
And actually, that's a great place to start. So, I mean, I know the first time I'd ever heard of that was Nine Inch Nails. You know, I bought the album, his first album, and saw Nine Inch Nails is Trent Reznor. I thought, well, that's interesting. That's interesting. So, how come you went this route rather than just being the Nicole Deeker experience or just Nicole Deeker?
Oh, sure. Well, when I started Hello the Future, I had another job, and I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. I started Hello the Future actually as a project rather than a band. It was the name of me putting up a song a week on the internet. It was not necessarily the name of a band yet. It was the name of a website in which I put up a song every week on the internet. We've heard of people who have done that before, by the way. This is not an original idea. Anyway, so it was called Hello the Future. I didn't put my name on it anywhere because, what if the songs were terrible? And some of them were. And it was the sort of thing, you don't want everyone in the entire world to find out about it right away. So that is why it was called Hello the Future. And then gradually, as people started to get to know, who I was, it became the name of my band.
Okay. And apparently, you know, I mean, you gave me some good reference material. Apparently there was Blue your alias.
Yes, Blue has been my internet alias, or was my internet alias, for a very long time. Years. Many years. Back, you know, when the internet started and everyone had pseudonyms because no one wanted to put their real name on the internet, and now everyone always wants to put their real name on the internet, so we're talking like 99-ish here is when I started going by Blue on the internet. That's been a long, many years, too many years, so that, yes. But I recently followed the trend, thank you Facebook or whatever, of actually, you know, putting my real name out there because that makes more sense.
Right. Well, you can still make up an identity and make rude comments on YouTube as your alternative. You know, it doesn't have to
be. Sure. Right. Well, I have a couple secret YouTube accounts, you know, so anytime I want to, I can just comment on some of those.
Right. You know, if you want to insult somebody or just call a random stranger like a fag or something, you can just log in. Not that you would do that. You know.
I would not do that.
No. Right. And, you know, that was where
yes.
I was going.
Yes. So, be careful.
And actually, now speaking of that, now, I know you have a pretty strong, or that's part of your presence is YouTube, and it seems like you've avoided that kind of crap in your YouTube world, or have you been subjected to that kind of nonsense?
I get a little bit of it. I have not gotten a lot of it on YouTube, interestingly enough, and it may be because I don't always get a lot of comments on my videos, but it may also be because, let's put it this way. YouTube has changed since, say, 2005, right? And so it doesn't promote sort of individual content the way it used to. And because of that, the audience I've curated on YouTube is an audience of fans. So people find me and then are directed to my YouTube page rather than finding me through my YouTube page. And that's probably why the majority of my comments have been very positive. I got my first Tumblr creeper the other day. That was awesome. It seems I'm doing Tumblr correctly or something.
So what is a Tumblr creeper? Do they like break into your Minecraft house and steal your stuff?
No, you know what Tumblr is. Tumblr
yes.
is that. Yes. Okay. It's So it was just a private message from someone I didn't know who was all, you know, your body's my wonderland kind of thing. Like, no, it's not, basically.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, that's the internet. That's the horror and wonder of the internet is, you know, we're...
Yes.
So hence, you know, the reason to not put your real name out there whenever possible. No, I completely get it.
Yeah. I, at this point, you know, since I am doing this thing all the time, of course my real name's attached to it. It got way too confusing otherwise.
Right. But you still are a band, though, you know, so people
are
still... Yes.
I am.
And so now let's talk a little bit about this, because, you know, you were actually gracious enough to allow Really Amazing John's, which was a very funny and witty song. And we appreciate it. I'm glad that, I don't know how you know Paul Mackey, that character, but I appreciate you letting him.
I think we met at MAGFest, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we met at MAGFest.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, and actually I've met him. He's a good guy. But, you know, this isn't about him, damn it. So tell us a little bit about your music. I know that you seem to have, and I'm going to, please correct me if I'm wrong, but you seem to kind of have the George Robb and, of course, Jonathan Colton, Paul and Storm thing going. And now correct me where I'm wrong and elaborate on that, please.
Hey, this is Mike Nelson, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Keep it tuned here.
Oh, no, I think you're absolutely 100% correct. Certainly they are all on my Pandora and tucked inside of my phone. I mean, come on. I did a song a week project. Whose idea do you think I was stealing here?
Right, that was the Osmonds, wasn't it?
Clearly. You know, me and Donnie, we're tight. Definitely all of them are my influences. Certainly Marion Call and Molly Lewis and the Double Clicks are also influences. I would say that my musical style... For a while, I called myself a geek rocker, but that really didn't make sense because there weren't ever any drums or you know, rock. So now when I send my EPK out to people, I tell them I do geek folk, which is closer to being correct. But it's at that border between sort of geeky references and personal experiences and storytelling, kind of folk music, you know, acoustic. I mean, how would you describe Jonathan Colton, right? Is he, he's not exactly rock, although Artificial Heart is more in that direction, but, you know, he's not exactly folk either. Anyway, it's that own particular thing of geek music, that the Woodstock and all of that is all that.
Sure, and of course there's the term filk, which I'm sure you've heard.
Oh, yes. No, I've played in a lot of filk rooms.
Okay, and this is something, and I'm going to, this is where it gets edgy. Are you avoiding the term filk, or are you embracing it?
Oh, I'm definitely embracing the term filk, but I would not exclusively call myself a filk artist. Some of my music would qualify as filk. Some of it probably would not.
Okay, that's fair enough. And I see that you've done some touring, actually. So, I mean, you know, this is the real thing. You know, I see you've done some touring on the East Coast and now you're on the West Coast, right?
This is correct. I moved to Los Angeles almost, I guess, 2.5 months ago now. Not yet 3 months.
Oh. So you're not completely bronzed yet and
Oh no, I am. I have a shoe tan where my shoe covers my foot. It's kind of ridiculous.
You know, don't let it change you. Don't let them change you out there.
You become who you are becoming, which is not my phrase, by the way. I stole that from Les Grossman. But yes, that is how things go, you know? I can't help it.
Right. Well, I should say don't let them harsh your mellow or some other kind of California.
Oh, no. I think everyone here is mellow. I think that they would be mellowing my harsh is probably more likely to what will happen.
Are you originally from the Midwest?
I am originally from the Midwest. I mean, technically I was born in Portland, Oregon, but I spent most of my life in a very small town in Missouri. And now I'm here.
Wow. So, and I guess, you know, I don't think we touched enough on your music, but this is, we do have to talk about this. So you basically dropped everything and moved to LA to make it as a professional musician. Is that correct?
That is correct, minus one piece. That is absolutely correct. I also met a guy on a cruise.
Oh.
On the Jonathan Colton cruise, no less, right? So, it was a combination of factors. But this was the move from doing Hello the Future sort of on the evenings and weekends and doing Hello the Future full-time with something I had been always sort of working towards. You know, once I started to see that this was a viable group and that people were interested in hearing me, it's always the sort of thing in the back of your mind. And then when this opportunity presented itself, as it were, you know, what else am I going to do? Am I going to come out to Los Angeles and get some, either the choices are this, right? I'll explain to you the choices. One is I move out to Los, I thought about this. I have a very, very analytical mind. So you move out to Los Angeles and you either A, get a crappy job and do Hello the Future on the nights and weekends. You B, get a career job, which pretty much is everything. And you try, you know, that would be sort of, plus, if you meet someone on a cruise, you kind of want to spend some time with them. So three, the third option is since I had a bit of money saved and this opportunity is, why not go for it, right? You know, at some point you stop practicing and see if what you have created will actually stand on its own.
Yeah, I mean, that makes an awful lot of sense. And actually, this is a great rung then on your ladder towards success. You know, that'll be a great chapter in your autobiography, you know.
Absolutely. Hello the Future, the Hello the Future story.
That's right. But, you know, the cruise ship part of it is great.
I mean, that is also one of the reasons I called the project Hello the Future was because I wanted to see how this would change who I was. I have a degree in music. Both of my parents are musicians. I have way too many years of piano lessons. And when I became an adult, I wasn't able to do it anymore. But anyway, that's another story. So the idea is that we're pushing. Yes. We become who we're becoming. I've already said that. Next question.
Well, and you're leading this interview perfectly because I was going to say, I do hear it in your voice. I hear the classical training, or at least the formal training in your voice. You know, you're not just it wasn't just like you were 17 and drunk one day and said, okay, I can do this. You know, you've obviously do have some background in this.
Yeah, no, I have both a degree in music and then a graduate degree in theater. So two of the smartest life choices one can make.
Well, you're actually applying them. So, you know,
this is true.
For the rest of us English majors, you know, who ended up working desk jobs, you know, it's so you're carrying the torch for all of us, you know, we're all depending on you, Nicole.
Good. Well, I hope I can become so successful that I have enough money to, like, create scholarships or something, because otherwise you aren't getting anything back, I tell you what.
No, it's fine. So, and now, where I wanted to go, let's get back to the music. Now, obviously, you cover geeky stuff. We love it or hate the term. You cover some geeky stuff. Now, what is your geek background? I mean, are you more... And I know you did a song about Arya Stark, and you mentioned Lev Grossman. Is that the universe, or do you just kind of embrace all things in that whole geek universe, from Firefly to I don't know, to Heinlein, to whatever?
Right. I definitely will embrace anything in the geek universe. I am not familiar with all of it. That's a pretty fair statement. I mean, this was a small town thing. I think it would have been different if I had grown up somewhere larger, but I was the only girl I knew growing up who had played the Final Fantasy series, who had played Mega Man, you know, all of these things. Like, I was the girl. None of my friends were doing that crap. I was the only person, again, I knew who had, you know, read Douglas Adams, right? So I think if you're asking me what kind of geek I am, I'm not sure. Sort of a sampler platter geek. I mean, I saw all of Firefly. I've seen none of Star Trek. I was kind of too young for all of that, and we didn't have cable, so there are giant gaps in my geek history. But, yeah, no, I'm open to pretty much anything.
Okay. And what are the ones that do come through in the music? I mean, I've seen there's a tune with Firefly, and of course, actually, this is probably the perfect way to talk about your album that's devoted to all to...
yes.
To characters.
Yay! All right, so Geek Girl EP... which needs to be released. I'm waiting on T-shirts, actually, is what I'm waiting on, because I'm releasing it as a package, and I've got to get the T-shirts in. But anyway, Geek Girl EP is... An EP is an extended play. It's not quite as long as a full CD. And there are 6 songs, and each song is about a different female character in the geek fandom. And this all started when I wrote a song about Shell from Portal, because Shell never gets to speak, and I thought that was kind of unfair. So I thought if she had something to say, you know, what would it be? So I wrote a song about Shell, and everyone liked it, and I wrote a song about River, because really for no other reason than because I was cosplaying River for an event, and I thought, well, I have the costume, I might as well come up with a song. And then everyone liked that, you know, and... Mm-hmm. And then I wrote a song about Julia Wigger when Lev Grossman had a Magician King song contest. And it's sort of like, well, I've got 3, you know, who else is intriguing me at the moment? And from there, I thought, well, I'll put together 6, we'll do an EP, and we'll do that as a fundraiser for a studio album, which I hope to record at the end of the year.
Nice. And the other 3, I know, we mentioned Arya Stark, and who are the other 2?
The other 2 are Katniss from Hunger Games, and then Joanna Mason from Catching Fire and Mockingjay.
Okay. Well, very cool. So hopefully, hopefully everyone out there in Deadpan Land who's listening will check it out. And you don't have a release date, a hard release date for this?
No, I'm waiting
on the t-shirts come in.
Is it when the t-shirts come in and when we actually schedule the release concert? Because, you know, I get this joke all the time. It's like, I'm in Los Angeles. I can't tell you what I'm doing, but I have a lot of secret things that I can't tell you that I'm doing. But the release concert is going to be awesome. I'm planning it right now with a couple of awesome people. And anyway, so I can't tell you when it's going to be released, but if you want to know, you should follow me on Twitter or Tumblr or Facebook or YouTube or whatever. Yeah, just put the links in the description or something.
Nicely done. Well, except the end, you know, you fell apart there at the end. Is it Hello the World and all these places, or is it Nicole Deaker or something?
No,
else?
It's if you type Hello the Future into Google, you are likely to find me. That is basically the best way to do it. I'm hello-the-future.net, which was a very stupid thing I did at the very beginning of this project, because otherwise it looked like hell-o-the-future, and I thought that was just unfair. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on board with that decision. It might be more awkward now to spell it out that way, but you're right.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I said hello the world. I'm sorry. That was...
It's your programming background coming through.
Right, I'm not a programmer, but I'll go with that.
Reporter. And then I say deadpan podcast, the deadpan.
Deadpan is the way. Absolutely.
So hard.
Yes, isn't it though?
Ready?
Sure.
Okay. This is Jonathan Colton, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan is the Emmer effing way, Emmer effers.
I'm sorry, I was zoning out, I was watching.
Should be great.
Well, okay, so it's hello the future with dashes.
With hyphens. Dashes, now you're an English major, you should know this. Dashes are different.
Yes, you're right. I hang my head in shame now. I'm just going to sit quietly. You tell us some more good things.
No, I used to do copy editing as one of my many jobs which I've had in my life. And, you know, no one ever uses the M dash correctly, ever. It makes me sad.
Yes, no, I have received compliments on my M dashing. You know, that's a good thing.
Yes. But
now, and... So, and now you have other projects, you know, it's not just the EP, you also had, or this is a past project, right, where you did the charity covers album.
Oh, Mink Car Cover, of course. A Mink Car Cover you can still purchase, and you can go to minkcarcover.com, or again, just type Mink Car Cover into Google, you'll find it. Mink Car Cover is a full cover of They Might Be Giants album, Mink Car, which we created to benefit the FDNY Foundation. And the FDNY Foundation is the official not-for-profit of the Fire Department of New York. So money that goes to the FDNY Foundation is then used for equipment and training for the Fire Department of New York itself. So that was a project I did over a year ago right now. We did it for the 10th anniversary of September 11, 2001. And there were a ton of awesome musicians on that album. Hank Green was on the album, Driftless Pony Club, Shale Riley and the Double Eye Stack Fire, Devo Spice, MC Frontalot, Marion Call, Molly Lewis, Double Clicks, who else? Oh, Tom Milsom, Ivy Tron, now I'm going to have to pull out the list because I'm sure I'm forgetting someone. Ryan North from Dinosaur Comics did the album art. Mustin was on it. Beefy was on it. Again, I'm going to be like, I'm leaving someone out and I'll feel badly. I'm going to type this into the thing. Now you can hear my typing. Whoa.
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Keyboard,
oh, yeah.
Keyboard clicks, everyone. Keyboard clicks.
Brennelfloss, Mike Lombardo. Jonathan Mann, who's done a song every day forever. Randy Garcia. And one more I'm missing and counting the number. Nuclear Bubble Wrap. Last one. I named everyone. Great.
But why'd you name them in that particular order? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So, okay, and that's also very cool. And, of course, now hopefully that's come to the attention of They Might Be Giants. And that's...
Oh, we got their permission.
Excellent.
Yeah. This is an interesting story. I had never met Jonathan Colton at this point, and he was playing a concert in Baltimore. And I went to the concert in Baltimore. This was when he was in the middle of preparing Artificial Heart with John Flansburgh. And he always talks to his fans after the show, so I go up to him, and I essentially pitch him this project. I'm like, hi, Jonathan Colton, you don't know who I am. Can you ask John Flansburgh if we can do this project about his album? Because I know you're going to be talking to him. I'm such a weirdo. He was so cool about it.
Yeah, I've met him. He's actually very, very cool. He's very personal, just a super, super guy.
Super guy.
That is a good story. And so is that how it came to be?
I mean, it came to be, you know, originally during a MAGFest when I met Mustin, who works for the One Ups and the Bad Dudes and a ton of other stuff. And I was like, hey, Mustin, I want to do this project. And Mustin's like, it's an awesome project. Let's do it. But yes, that's the official start when I went and I pitched Jonathan Colton out of the blue at a show in Baltimore.
And so you ended up on the Tom Cruise Crazy Cruise.
No, that's the song. It's the Joko Cruise Crazy Cruise.
The Joko Cruise. Well, I know it's, you know. But so you ended up on his cruise. Now, were you there as a performing musician, you know, linked to Joko, or were you just a rabid fan? I mean, how'd you end up on the cruise?
I got to play on on the Shadow Cruise, which is the unofficial fan cruise that is running simultaneously with the official cruise. Anyway, it's all on the internet. But yeah, no, I bought a ticket like an ordinary person.
Oh, well,
asking.
No, I didn't mean it that way. But no, I had seen that you listed that as credit. So you did actually perform.
I performed in the piano bar. It's pretty cool.
So that is very cool. Now, as I said, I know he's a good guy. Actually, I know some other people who went, some other, you know, mundanes who went, which would have been me too if I had the ability to get away in the cash. But you know, I know that some people have gone and they've said that the Joe Co cruise crazy is a blast.
It really is. You know, if you get the chance, it really is.
And of course, there'll be the Hello the Future cruise at some point eventually.
I mean, by the time I am likely to have enough fans to have a cruise, you know, global warming, you're like, there's no water left. I don't know. We'll see.
Or actually, it'd be all water. I mean, we'd all be cruise. So everything would be a cruise.
What I'm saying, and now I've just said bad science, and I feel terrible about it. I'm sorry, science. What I mean to say is, that's going to be a long way in the future.
Well, okay. Well, now let's, again, you're setting me up perfectly. So what is in the future for Hello the Future?
Well, I'm going to do a tour on land that's almost like a cruise, except it involves, like, cars and Amtrak.
I'm sure you'll cross a river here and there.
I'll take out the oxen and we'll ford it. So the next big thing for me, I have a couple of smaller shows, but the next big thing that your fans might want to know about is I'm playing California Extreme, which is a gaming convention in Santa Clara, and you can still attend. Again, dump California Extreme into Google, find out more about it. But there are consoles and arcade games, and it's like 2 days of a bunch of nerds in a room playing games, and there will be musicians there, and I will be one of them. So yay for that. That is the 28th and 29th of July.
Very cool. So that's coming up.
That is coming up.
And hopefully, as of this recording, I'm not exactly sure when this episode will drop, but it should be before that. So there you go.
I think so. And for anyone who is going to PAX Prime, I will be playing a pre-show at Funhouse, which is, according to the website, Seattle's premier punk rock club, which I think is hilarious because I am not punk rock at all. In any way. But we're going to fill Seattle's premier punk rock club with a bunch of chiptuners, video game cover bands, me, and we're going to basically rock the house Thursday, August 30th at 7. It's $10 cover. It will last until like midnight or later. So that is what you want to do if you're going to PAX Prime and you want to go to a rocking show before then. And in fact, you don't have to have a ticket to get into PAX because I know you can't get those anymore. But anyway, so August 30th, Funhouse. Not punk rock, actual chiptunes, $10 cover, 21 plus, etc.
Well, maybe you can do a punk rock song.
I could. I mean, I guess.
Okay. Never mind. Forget I said it.
Cover punk rock. I'm trying to think of what I could cover. Weezer?
D E A D P A N Dead Pan.
So this is a good segue into you've listed Colton and Rob. Hopefully I'm not repeating this question. Was there anyone, outside of that world, like that are your influences? And who are some of your influences that we wouldn't guess from hearing your music?
Well, I mean, I'm obviously a huge They Might Be Giants fan, but that would be obvious. I really, really like technopop in a kind of crazy way. I'm listening to a lot of freeze pop right now, as I am putting together this new album and project and lots of, you know, typing and things. So that is pretty much going on. I mean, my Pandora, I have a whole Pandora station devoted to techno, and then I have my other station, which is basically all the 90s music, you know, a lot of Ben Folds, lot of, like, Green Day, and who else is on my Pandora? A lot of things, like, that one song about the freshmen, you know, and presidents of the United States of America. It's like an oldies channel on my phone. So.
Yes, I remember the Verve Pipe was a freshman song.
That's great. that was their only song, right?
No, they had one other, but I don't even remember the name of it.
Yeah, that, and of course, I mean, I have a classical music background, so I can hold my own there if it comes up.
Right, and again, you know, that's, I wouldn't say that I hear classical music in your voice, but I, as I said, I can hear that you've had the training.
Yeah, that's, I can't get rid of it. Stuck. Except you can hear my Midwesterner when I say, like, river and things. Yep.
Right, Midwest, like Midwestern Austria, I guess.
Right.
No, well, see, I knew I would derail the interview at some point.
No, that's fine. I mean, what else are we going to talk about all night? I have nothing else to do.
Go ahead. I'll remember the good question I had while you.
All right. I just have to clarify. Before the interview started, you mentioned something about how I don't have a real job. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell everyone else. I actually had a conversation with Angela Weber of the Double Clicks about this. Being a full-time independent musician is pretty much an 18-hour-a-day job, all right? I am not sitting around watching episodes of Garfield and Friends on Hulu, even though Garfield and Friends is now on Hulu. End story. I'm continually asking for shows is what I mean. It's like, you know, you get up every morning and you ask 10 different small clubs or coffee shops for shows, basically. But you were going to ask me something more interesting.
I still haven't remembered, but I will just defend my pre-show statement and say I did say traditional because I've actually done not to the extent that you're doing it, obviously. Apparently I should have gone on the cruise and met that guy, but I definitely appreciate how much work goes into making it as an independent creator and, you know, an independent creative person. You know, it is a ton of work. So. And good on you. I mean, it's a very cool – it still is, you know, no matter what kind of a net you have, it's still a great leap of faith. And, you know, it's still a brave thing to do. So, you know, applause from me and from all of us to what you've done. You know, I certainly hope it works out.
Me too. I mean, you know, if not, then I'll figure something else out.
But, no, I think – you know, the songs are definitely witty, I think, and actually I've seen in the YouTube videos, you do seem to have kind of a very engaging way with the camera. Your energy, I guess, kind of comes through. So I think, you know, it's definitely, I would recommend everyone go out and check it out. And that actually reminds me of what I was going to ask you. I wanted to ask you for some, I guess we'll probably leave off with in a few minutes, but I wanted to ask for your recommendations for some of the songs that people should go out and, you know, to get their first sampling of Hello the Future.
Got it. All right. I think the best thing for you to do if you want a sample of Hello the Future is to go to either my Bandcamp page or my YouTube page. All right. Bandcamp. You can type Hello the Future Bandcamp into Google. I know I keep saying this. And, in fact, you can use Bing if you want to. I don't care. But the idea is if you put Hello the Future Bandcamp into some search engine, you'll be able to find it. That's easier than me spelling out the URL. And right on the top, it'll have my song about Julia Wicker from The Magician King, which is a really good start. It's a nice showcase for my voice, and it actually recorded very well. The thing about that really awesome John song you played on your podcast a couple of weeks ago was when I had really crappy recording equipment. It sounded kind of awful. But I have since learned what I'm doing. So from Bandcamp, you can start there. If you want to see me live, you can go to YouTube/BlueInTheFuture, BlueInTheFuture. That is my YouTube channel name, again, because all the other obvious ones were taken. And from there, you can watch me perform a song called Skeptic Love Song, which is about love and science. So those are two good ones to start. If you like web comics, pull up my album Infinity right now, and you can hear songs about dinosaur comics and questionable content.
Okay, very cool. And we can find these through Google as well.
Again, yes, just as you're listening, because I know you got another browser tab open somewhere, unless you're driving. Don't do this if you're driving. But if you know, if you're just listening to me talk right now, pull up the other tab and just start typing. I know you can type that fast.
Right. Or go ahead and click pause. You know, we'll be here when you come back.
True. It's totally true.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for clicking play again. Yeah, and actually, I really think of the songs I've heard, I think, you know, Skeptic Love Song is really witty and it's a lot of fun. That's the one that made me think George Robb.
Yeah, no, totally. I would love to open for him. I'm just going to put that out there. I know the secret isn't real, but if I put it out in the universe, maybe someone listening to this could pretend to be the secret and make it happen for me.
Well, I got to say, you know, this is about you, but, you know, we got to take a minute to talk about me. Sorry.
Good.
Because, you know, he, by a strange twist of fate, he actually opened for me once.
Oh, fantastic.
And I say that jokingly. It was that he and I were both playing Balticon. We were both doing live performances, and it just happened that, you know, he was going on before me. So I jokingly said, okay, George Robb is opening for me.
That is awesome.
Yeah, but he, you know, he blows the doors off the stage anywhere he goes. He is fantastic. So, No, I think, and again, I hear the same kind of scientific, kind of skeptic, geeky wit in his music that I hear in yours. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Enough about me, though. So you have album releases coming up, or you have an EP release? No, you have a full-length album coming at the end of the year.
Yeah, the end of the year, again, definitely release date TBD there. The EP should be, I hope, first or second week of August. There's no reason why it shouldn't. Just got to get T-shirts and schedule the concert.
And those T-shirts will also be available at the Hello the Future website.
They will. Everything I sell will be available there. I have stickers and posters. I'm trying to, you know, I'm expanding because you can only sell a CD to one person like one time, but you can sell them a supplementary poster. Gosh darn it.
That's right. Swag. You know, swag is the key.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you very much to the whole band of Hello the Future, including their front woman, Nicole Deeker.
Their rhythm guitarist. I mean, he's got everyone.
Rhythm and lead guitarist, yes.
Yes.
Hello. This is Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan is the melon farming way.
So, well, yeah, it's been a lot of fun talking to you. And, you know, I'm thrilled, actually. Again, I hate to throw in one more thing that's related to me, but I'm thrilled that you're going to participate in our Ear Buddies.
I'm so excited for this. I'm going to find the weirdest, awesome song I can find. There's some weird, awesome songs out there.
And, you know, as I said to you in our email exchange about this, no one will think anything less of you if you use one of your own. But
I would love to do that, but I think I can. I mean, that would be cheating. Plus, I listen to my own music, but it's not like I sit around listening to my own music all day. Come on. That would be.
Well, fair enough. We're looking forward to that. So, you know, a lot of times when, you know, not for the bad guests, but, you know, for the good guests, I say, well, we hope we'll have you back soon. But I guess we will hear you again soon when
we do buddies.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. So
me
thanks.
Too.
Thanks again. And definitely, you know, keep us all posted as to the stuff that's going on and, you know, when people can see you, when your album comes out. Certainly.
Yes.
All right. Thanks again, Nicole.
Thank you.
Song about a group of people who share more than a name. John Flansburgh, John Linnell, John Stewart, John Hodgman, Jonathan Colton, and they all work together. And it really is a shame that if you want to be a geek superstar, you've got to have a name like John. Or maybe know a John who helps you meet a John who does a show with a John. I could go on and on. There's this chart that I've drawn, but I'm really here to say, I wish my name was John and I was 50 years old. 'Cause if my name were John and I were 50 years old, I'd get to be there in that apartment up in Brooklyn playing Scrabble with those really awesome drums. It's a league of extraordinary gentlemen, and I know it isn't fair that they exist, and I'm not them, and I'm not part of their little circle of Johns, connective tissue of Johns, collaboration of Johns, dissemination of Johns. Like they're so intertwined, just like they're sharing a mind, why won't they share that mind with me? I wish my name was John, and I was 50 years old. Cause if my name were John, and I were 50 years old, I'd get to be there in that apartment up in Brooklyn, playing Scrabble with those really awesome Johns. I have a PC! Heck yeah, I have a PC! I don't even know the name of the guy who plays the Mac. But the coolest thing about John Hodgman, besides getting to be John Hodgman, is John Hodgman gets to hang out with awesome Ira Glass. Awesome Ira Glass. Just my little guitar, I'm like a John without a John. I am unsupervised, I need an accordion. Awesome Ira Glass. If I could be one of the Johns, if only for a day, I'd jump into the circle of Johns and John it all the way. I would rock with the Johns, or write a book with John, or trip a drawer with John, and then introduce him with John, and then we'd all get along. Maybe we'd write a new song, and the chorus part would say, hey, I'm glad my name was John, and I'm 50 years old. Cause if my name weren't John, and I weren't 50 years old, I wouldn't be here this apartment up in Brooklyn, playing Scrabble on the Twitters with John Hodgman and those really awesome other men named John. Did you know this? I mean, my goodness, did you even know this? Jonathan Colton, at the time of this writing, is making an album with John Flansburgh. That's really exciting.